Mahatatvadvikurvanad. Aham tanvattam vyajayata. Karya karana kartritma. Bhutendriya manomaya. Vaikarikasthai jashascha. Tamashaschetyaham tridha. Mahat, the great, tatvat, from the causal truth, vikurvanat, being transformed, aham, false ego, tatvam, material truth, yajayata, became manifested. Karya, effects, karana, cause, kartri, doer, atma, soul or source, bhuta, material ingredients, indriya, senses, manamaya, hovering on the mental plane. Vaikarika, the mode of goodness. Tejasa, the mode of passion. Cha, and tamasa, the mode of ignorance. Cha, and iti, thus, aham, false ego. Tridha, three kinds. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mahatattva or the great causal truth transforms into false ego, which is manifested in three phases: cause, effect, and the doer. All such activities are on the mental plane and are based on the material elements, gross senses, and mental speculation. The false ego is represented in three different modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Report. A pure living entity, in his original spiritual existence, is fully conscious of his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Lord. All souls who were situated in such pure consciousness are liberated, and therefore they eternally live in bliss and knowledge in the various Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. When the material creation is manifested, it is not meant for them. The eternally liberated souls are called Nitya Muktas, and they have nothing to do with the material creation. The material creation is meant for rebellious souls who are not prepared to accept subordination under the Supreme Lord. This spirit of false lordship is called false ego. It is manifested in three modes of material nature, and it exists in mental speculation only. Those who are in the mode of goodness think that each and every person is God, and thus they laugh at the pure devotees who try to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Those who are puffed up in the mud of passion try to lord it over material nature in various ways. Some of them engage in altruistic activities as if they were agents appointed to do good to others by their mental speculative plans. Such men accept the standard ways of mundane altruism, but their plans are made on the basis of false ego. This false ego extends to the limits of being one with the Lord. The last class of egoistic conditioned souls, those in the mode of ignorance, are misguided by identification of the gross body with the self. Thus, all their activities are centered around the body only. All these persons are given the chance to play with false egoistic ideas, but at the same time, the Lord is kind enough to give them a chance to take help from scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that they may understand the science of Krishna and thus make their lives successful. The entire material creation, therefore, is meant for the falsely egoistic living entities hovering on the mental plane under different illusions of the in the modes of material nature. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapatakamanam Shri Gudun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahavraganatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabudutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakanvitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschanyadishatarine. So we read about these souls hovering in the modes of material nature in the mental plane, those in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. So what is our position? We are also hovering still at this present time. We haven't fully realized Krishna. So it's not that we should proudly think, yeah, look at those conditioned souls out there, ha 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 ha. We are still conditioned souls. The difference is we are now recovering. We've come to the hospital of ISKCON, the Hare Krishna movement, to recover from this condition. We're taking the cure, you see. Not that we're completely cured yet, but we're in the process of becoming cured. So it's important for us to understand, as we're going through this curative process of Krishna consciousness awakening, and it's important for us to understand what is the actual disease that we're suffering from, how we caught it, how we can get free from it, etc. This is important information. To know how we caught it will help prevent us from contracting it, remaining caught up in it. As Prabhupada points out here, this material existence for rebellious souls who are not prepared to accept subordination under the Supreme Lord. So, this is what keeps one in material consciousness. This is what keeps one in the material world, this rebellious attitude of not wanting to subordinate oneself under the Supreme Lord. So the cure is to give up the rebellious attitude and to accept subordination under the Supreme Lord, which is our constitutional position, as confirmed here by Srila Prabhupada. Well, how do we actually bridge the gap between our present attitude of not wanting to subordinate ourselves to the Lord with actually subordinating ourselves to the Lord? That bridge is called sadhana bhakti, following the rules and regulations according to the Vedic injunctions. That process purifies our consciousness and brings us back to our original pure state. You see, spontaneously, naturally, the living entity is a lover of God. But that pure spontaneity becomes polluted by the contact with the modes of material nature, and one develops that rebellious attitude. Then one spontaneously engages in serving its senses, at least he appears to do so. But actually, he's not. The conditioned living soul is simply bound up in these three modes. There are, the word guna in Sanskrit means modes, it also means rope. So we're tied up by these ropes, just like a puppet has all these strings attaching him to the puppeteer, you see. We're being manipulated by Durga Devi, Maya Devi, engaging in so many ways, just as puppets of the material nature. So we're not actually free in this material world. We're all slaves here. There's no freedom here. Don't think otherwise. There is no freedom in this material existence. It's a realm of slavery only. It's like being a prisoner. You don't have freedom in the prison. you have to follow the rules and regulations of the prison. So we're being forced through these extremely embarrassing things called birth, death, old age, and disease. They're actually embarrassing to the living entity. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Because they're not natural to the living entity. The living entity is naturally a pure lover of God. He's naturally experiencing unlimited bliss, unlimited knowledge, and his eternal identity as a spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's a very great embarrassment for us actually be in this situation. But if we take advantage of the association of great personalities, especially our beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who is present here with us today, if we take advantage of Srila Prabhupada's presence, hear his teachings very sincerely, try to follow them to the best that we can, to try to have this humble mood of subordinating ourselves to Srila Prabhupada. Actually, you're meant to subordinate not only to God himself, but to God's representative, the spiritual master. We have many spiritual masters now in ISKCON, but we have one Prabhupada, the master at whose feet the masters sit. So actually all of us are subordinating ourselves to Srila Prabhupada. That is our system in ISKCON. We all subordinate ourselves to Srila Prabhupada, and by following him, by doing exactly what Prabhupada tells us to do, that's how we become perfect. If we concoct our own program, well, I think I'd like to do it this way instead of the way Prabhupada said, you know. Well, it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita that actually, one who does not strictly follow the Vedic injunctions, they don't get success in life, they don't get happiness, what to speak of going back to home, back to Godhead. So if we want actual success in life, we want happiness, we want liberation from this material existence, we must strictly follow the Vedic injunction, which is summarized by Rupa Goswami in its 3 points. All the Vedic injunctions can be boiled down to 3 basic points. Take shelter of Guru. This is confirmed, and this is what Prabhupada is saying in the Nectar Devotion. Take shelter of the spiritual master, get initiated by the spiritual master, and obey the spiritual master. There's actually 64 items, which are the basic items of Bhakti Yoga, given in the Nectar Devotion. But they are all summarized, actually, in these 3. Because if you do those 3, then everything else will automatically be there. Because the spiritual master orders his disciples, you must follow all these instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. So in this way, if one strictly follows the Vedic injunctions, as given by Rupa Goswami, as the how to execute bhakti yoga. If one strictly follows them, then he will be successful, he'll be happy, and he will become liberated. So this is what we have to do. We just have to, even though our tendency is to act independently, to act whimsically, to engage in serving our senses, this is called indriya seva. You see, we have that tendency to serve our senses, but actually we have to do just the opposite. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. Instead of serving our senses, we have to engage our senses in the service of Rishikesha, the master of the senses. You see. Sarvapadiva Nirmuktam Tatpadat Vena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakta Uchate. This is called devotional service. You give up the false designations, I'm not an Indian, I'm not an Australian, I'm not an American, I'm not white, I'm not black, I'm not in between, I'm not a male, I'm not a female. Kick out all of these false designations. They are called upadis. Kick them out. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam. And then purify your consciousness of all the dirt. Tatpadat vena nirmalam. By engaging your senses, rishikesha rishikesha sevanam, and engaging your senses in the service of the master of the senses, Vishikesha, Bhaktir Uchate. This is called Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. So we'll follow the injunctions, the instructions that Prabhupada has given us here, very sincerely, very dedicatedly, very determinedly, very patiently, and very enthusiastically. then our perfection is guaranteed. It's just a matter of time. If you follow the recipe on banana bread and you stick it in the oven, just a matter of time before you have wonderful banana bread ready to offer to the deity. You see. You can't have it instantly, but if you follow the instructions and you patiently wait while it bakes in the oven, you're going to have some fantastic banana bread to offer to the deities. So in the same way, if you follow the recipe given in the Nectar Devotion, you see, how to execute Krishna consciousness properly. If you'll do that, then you'll be patient. Take some time for bhakti to bake. You see, you have to be patient while it's in the oven. Faithfully go on executing the injunctions, the Vedic injunctions, while you're waiting for pure love of God to fully manifest in your heart. You have to have faith in the process. You have to have faith. Not that, well, if I don't see Krishna immediately, I'll give up the process. No. You will see Krishna certainly. That day will come. You will personally see Krishna, face to face, eye to eye. But you have to be very faithful and patient and waiting for that day by carefully, sincerely executing the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnavas and scriptures. If you'll do this sincerely, then the result is guaranteed. So now I can ask him some questions. Any questions? Yeah. Guna, ropes. Yeah.
In the word for word from yesterday, in the word for word from yesterday.
Word for word.
Yesterday's text.
Yeah.
The guna is translated as chiefly in the word of ignorance.
It's translated as chiefly in the word of guna.
Of ignorance.
So, what is the point?
So, the point was we had the question yesterday, going back to three verses, that the Mahatattva was described as being pure goodness, and yesterday it was described as chiefly ignorance.
Yeah, there was some question about what is the modal, the situation of the Mahatattva in relation to the modes, right? Okay.
When you were describing how to translate guna, I checked in that word for word, and that's where the quote is chiefly in the mode of ignorance, it's in the translation. So the guna is a generic, it's a generic word. So it can mean many things.
What is it?
She says guna in that way that it can mean many, many things. Guna.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a comment.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing that with us. We appreciate it. Okay, now we have some questions. How should I get rid of this false ego? Well, it's very simple. You don't really have to get rid of your false ego. Just get your real ego, and the false ego is immediately gone. You see, the Mayavadi says, I've got to annihilate the false ego. You know, that's Mayavadi. Neti, chip away at it, you know, cut away at it, cut away at the false ego. Cut. You see. But that's a very long, laborious process. According to Brahma Samhita, it takes millions of years through that process. So instead of just trying to chip away your false ego, just simply turn on your real ego. Jivara Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadas. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. So simply take up devotional service fully under the direction of Guru, Vaishnavas, and scriptures, Sadhu Shastra, Guru. And the natural melting away of the false ego will happen on its own, automatically. How can we learn to take criticism positively? Well, there's two types of criticism. There's criticism, legitimate criticism, and also false criticism. Prabhupada was very much criticized. One god brother even criticized him for wearing a watch. Just see, that's Bhaktivedanta Swami. He wears a watch, therefore he's materialistic. Can you imagine? Actually, yeah. Some of the god brothers were so envious of him. So there is criticism. There's actual Krishna conscious criticism, and there's mayic criticism. So we have to be able to distinguish the difference. My grandmother criticized me why I didn't want to become a Baptist minister. Why a Hare Krishna minister? Why not a Baptist minister, you see? So if someone's criticizing from the material platform, yeah, okay. You know, just let it bounce off. But if a devotee is pointing out my faults, how I'm not executing Krishna consciousness properly, then I should take that as the greatest blessing. That's the greatest blessing, that actually, you know, here I am, a puffed up rascal. I think I'm a great advanced devotee, and this devotee is pointing out that you're doing that wrong, Prabhu. You're doing it the wrong way. You're supposed to offer Archie with your right hand, not with your left hand. But I'm left-handed. Too bad. Lefties have to learn how to do Archie with their right. You see, we have to learn how to take criticism. Because that's how we become advanced in Krishna consciousness. In fact, Prabhupada one time said, he who is more chastised, he is advanced. So actually, when you're criticizing, thank you. The more I'm criticized, now you're helping me to advance in Krishna consciousness, you see. Because I thought I was really advanced. I'm practically a Paramahamsa, didn't you know?
No!
Well, I mean, I didn't even do that arti the right way. Oh, I did it the wrong order. I did the incense after the flower. Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize what I was doing. I must have been spaced out today. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really important. We need that, you know, from our peers, our superiors. Even a junior devotee may sometimes point out something to us. We should be grateful, you know. We should be grateful. And in Juhu, remember when devotee giving lecture, he said, if there's somebody who criticizes you, have him move in with you, become your roommate, so you can be constantly criticized 24 hours a day. Okay, here's a question coming from New Zealand, from Christchurch, New Zealand. What happens to the devotee who sincerely tries to follow the instructions of the spiritual master but misunderstands the instructions, so the result is wrong? Does Krishna recognize the endeavor? Yeah, if you're sincerely trying your best, Krishna sees the sincerity. And Krishna will also help you to see, because you're sincerely trying to please your guru, sincerely trying to please Prabhupada and Krishna through the disciplic succession, Krishna will help you to see that, yes, you're doing it the wrong way, so you can improve it. So just somehow or other, take up devotional service with enthusiasm. Maintain that enthusiasm, even if you make mistakes. Say, okay, I'm learning. And that way you'll advance. What is the relationship between politics and religion? Well, in the Vedic culture, the politicians are religious. The Kshatriyas are called Raja Rishi, or saint and politician at the same time. That is the Vedic system. Rajarshi. They are engaged in political affairs, but they are completely under the guidance of the Brahmins. They're humble servants of the Brahmins. the king is sitting there on the throne when his guru comes from the forest to visit him. He gets off the throne and says, Guru Maharaj, I offer you my kingdom. The spirit says, thank you very much, Na. You take it, you manage it on my behalf. You're in charge of managing this kingdom. The kings don't feel that they're the proprietor. They just feel they're the servant of their spiritual master. That's it. So that's the proper relationship. The Brahman, Kshatriya. The politicians are meant to be guided by the spiritualists, the pure Brahmana class. So nowadays it's completely perverted. Let's see. Instead of the religious people actually leading, the materialistic people are leading. Instead of the spiritualists leading the world, the materialistic are leading. And then in some places they have so-called spiritualists, you know, who are taking up the position of leadership. That's also bad. So, you know, pseudo-spiritualists taking up the position of political leaders. And in the name of so-called religion, exploiting and abusing people like anything. Where the devotees should join politics. Actually, it's very nice for our devotees. I remember when in our ISKCON, and back in the early 70s, his Srila Prabhupada instructed us to form a political party, if you can imagine. It was called the In God We Trust Party. I was one of the campaigners for the In God We Trust Party. Our temple president was running for city council. Prabhupada encouraged it. Balavanta Prabhu, who ran for the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia. So make it short is better. Yeah, it doesn't fall that way. Just tighten it. Yeah, the shorter the better, doesn't it? Yeah. But tighten it and put it up here. So yeah, it was something. We campaigned for Amarendra Prabhu to become the mayor of the city council. That's good. Joined the city council. It was really, I remember, we called a press conference at the hotel and all the media came. He gave his campaign, his platform. I remember he said we were going to, it's Florida, but of course here it's a good climate too. He's going to plant fruit trees on all the highways so anybody who wanted fruit could go get free fruits on the freeway, just have fruit trees all up and down the freeways. So anybody who wants food can just go get free food right there, free fruits. That was one of his campaign promises. Wow. So it was wonderful. It was ecstatic. But actually, Prabhupada stopped it because it's illegal. A religious movement cannot form a political party. They lose their religious status. But any devotees who want to do it on their own, great. We like to have devotees. Even now we have one lady, it's Tulsi Gabbard. She's in the U.S. House of Representatives. She took her oath of office on Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And she attends our temple in Honolulu. It's a Hindu lady who likes ISKCON and became a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. Tulsi Gabbard. So, yeah, if devotees can, the ISKCON cannot organize it. It's illegal. But any of especially our householders, would like to enter politics, go for it. Because if we can have, you know, Krishna conscious members of parliament and we get a majority, hey, we can do wonders for this country, you see. So, yeah, anyone who's inclined to do that. I sometimes thought about it doing it too, but I think it's more important I travel and preach. But I thought I could run for the city council there in Austin, Texas. But I realize it's better to keep traveling and preaching. I have to take good care of my disciples all over the world. But anyone who wants to run for politics, go for it. Get your spiritual master's permission, obviously, your temple authorities. Don't do it independently. But householder who has an independent livelihood, he's free to choose his own occupation. If he wants to earn his living as a politician, that's his career choice. Should be no objection. Okay. The living entity comes to the material world seeking independence. So isn't it true that there is some independence that we experience here, making us feel free and giving us pleasure? Yes, a false sense of independence. There's a false sense of independence.
But it's not genuine.
How to develop patience. You have to understand that good things don't always come immediately. Papa gives the example of a lady who gets married. She can't expect to have a child the next morning. It takes time. She knows I have my husband. Surely I will have a child in due course. But I think so. In this way, one has to be patient. Don't expect instant results. Good things take time. When one dies, if the soul is pure, does it have to go to Satya Loka first? From there to Vaikuntha? No. You don't have that. He's talking about the topmost planets in this material world. No. One goes directly back to home, back to Godhead. It is said that there is not birth and death there. Well, I had to do some research on Satya Loka, but sometimes it's called, these heavenly planets, it's called eternal life, but it's only because it's seems eternal in relation to what we have here, but actually it's not really eternal. There is death, even on Brahmaloka. That's why it's stated, Brahma Bhuvanaka Loka Punaravartin Arjuna Mamupachita Kaunteya Punarjanma Navijate. From the highest planet down to the lowest, every place is a place of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. The one who attains to Maya Bodo Sanam Kunti, Punar Janma Navinjate, he never takes birth again. What is meant by selfless service? Selfless service means I simply do what Krishna wants, that's all. What does Krishna want me to do? Not what I want. What does Krishna want? That's all. You totally put it yourself completely in the direction of Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, whatever you want me to do, I don't care what it is, I'm simply fully surrendered to you. Sarva dharman pradityaja. Whatever you want me to do, my every thought should be fully what you want me to think. Not even independently thinking, but simply I want every thought to be exactly how you want me to think. Every word should be exactly how you want me to speak. And everything I do should be completely as exactly you want me to do it. That's full surrender. And that's the perfection of our existence. In such a position of total submission of the Lord, guess what happens? Krishna becomes submissive to you. He becomes under your direction. You become the controller of God, actually. When you put yourself fully under God's control, he's so pleased with you, he now agrees to be controlled by you. I am studying the Nectar Devotion now, but I feel, will I ever get to the standard mentioned, the 64 characteristics? I feel it is too advanced, and maybe I cannot do it in this lifetime. So how should I take it to improve my sadhana? Just take it one step at a time, and I guarantee you, if you're sincere to become a pure devotee, by the Lord's grace, a miracle will happen and you'll become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Is there any devotee who fulfills all the 64 characteristics mentioned in the devotion? His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and anybody who's strictly following Prabhupada also, they manifest all 64 of the items perfectly. Why do we see that a group of devotees say that Prabhupada is our guru and not the next generation? Because this is the Kali Yuga. It always happens that there are some, when some great religious leader comes, there are people who splinter off from him and invent their own concocted philosophies. There's a group of people that we call them Ritviks. They say that only Prabhupada is the guru and none of his disciples can become gurus. But they ignore the fact that Prabhupada instructed his disciples to become gurus. They, because they're envious, they don't want to surrender to any representative of Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, they concoct a philosophy that only Prabhupada is a guru and no one else. But Prabhupada ordered his disciples to become spiritual masters. So what can we disciples do? We just feel that we're disciples. We don't really feel that we're gurus. We feel that only Prabhupada is a guru. But Prabhupada ordered us, no, you should also do this. So we have to do it on his order. We have to take on the position of guru on the order of Srila Prabhupada. So what is the destination of devotees who also have desire for material enjoyment? Another material body? You get another material body. You want material enjoyment? Okay, come back again. Have another material body. Now, it's possible they could go to the heavenly planets, or they, it depends on what kind of material enjoyment they want. If it's gross, then they won't go to the heavenly planets. They'll take breath in the earth planet. In order to avoid complacency, or on the other spectrum, anxiety, what is one to do to find the balance? That's a very nice question. The best thing is to be in complete anxiety. That's the best thing. About the suffering souls on this planet. Never feel complacent. Never. When the whole world becomes, when all the high court judges are wearing tilak, then I can afford to feel complacent. You see? But until then, it's anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. How we can save these fallen conditioned souls. The whole world is being misguided by these rascals. There's no complacency until all the Kai court judges are wearing tilak. And then we can relax, okay. Now we can sit back and not worry about spreading the movement anymore. The whole world is now Krishna conscious. Now we'll just, you know, celebrate. But until then, we have to be in great anxiety. How to save these people? How to save the suffering people of this world who are being exploited and misguided? Is balance even what one needs to primarily consider when executing various services for their spiritual master in terms of maintaining overall well-being? Is to serve in quality and quantity for the long run. You have to maintain good health, obviously. Now that kind of balance is required. You should eat as much, don't eat too much, don't eat too little, don't sleep too much, and don't sleep too little. Keep yourself in very good health and a good state of mind so you can go on serving steadily for 100 years in this body, if that's what you get. Be ready to go on for 100 years in this body. Try for it. Live in a healthy way so you're not going to, you know, live as long as possible and be prepared. 100 years is the allotted lifespan for the Kali Yuga. So be prepared to put in 100 years of Krishna's service in this body if Krishna allows that. Okay, we'll take two more real quick, and we're just slightly going over, but we'll just take two more questions. Now, question from, looks like maybe from India. How can a really shy and introvert person distribute Prabhupada's books? It's very simple. You just go up, you just hand them the book, and you say, this knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge because it gives direct perception of the self, my realization. It's the perfection of religion. It's everlasting and it's joyfully performed. And today, it's yours. Take it. Just give whatever you can to help out. We're passing them out to as many people as we can. It's not difficult. Learn, memorize the line and get out there and say it with a smile and look right in their eyes. Put the book in their hand and say it right in their eyes. Practice it with your mirror until you get it down pat, and then go out and say it to everybody you meet. And you'll distribute books like crazy. Even as householders, we can be Rajarshi, king and saint. Isn't it? Yes. The Rajarshis were married men. They weren't women. Especially considering all possibilities given to me are known Krishna in the service of Sri Guru and Vaishnavas, then how I don't develop Maitri, the feeling of that everything belongs to Sri Guru. Well, you're just polluted by bad association. What can I say? Actually, once you see everything belongs to the spiritual master. My body belongs to him. My whole life belongs to him. Once you see like that. I'm nothing but the servant of my spiritual master. Everything I have belongs to him. I have nothing of my own. Everything is his. It's simply due to bad association of materialistic people, greedy, lusty, angry, illusioned, envious people, that I'm not realizing how I should really see things in relationship to Vedic philosophy. Okay, so our time is up. And we thank you all very, very much for your participation in this glorious Hare Krishna movement. Let's get out there and save the world. Please, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.